The red one, that's what we want.
Red one. Glad you got your glasses. Well, I was trying to remember how all that, how it all began. And I think either Chris came to SFTS or there was a meeting with him someplace. But I remember, I think, a group of seminarians sitting down with him at some point. Now, all of that could have happened at USC. But I remember some direct contact with Chris.
And when were you at seminary?
Let's see. I started in 62.
Yeah.
And I know that there had been previous discussions about farm worker ministry, and I think at that time it was under the State Council of Churches or something.
That's right.
And it was called Migrant Ministry,
yeah,
and I remember
California Migrant Ministry.
California Migrant Ministry, and I remember listening to a rap with him about that at some point in there, mm-hmm. sometime between, you know, senior year and seminary. So that wasn't the story, the struggle wasn't news. But I don't remember exactly how it came about that a group of us, you know, 4 a.m. made our way by caravan and 2 or 3 cars mm-hmm. down to Delano.
Was that in 65, the first year of the strike?
It was right at the beginning. I thought it was even earlier than that. Was that the first year?
Well, if it was Delano, that was the year.
All right. Well, it was Delano. And I remember going into the Union Hall, and there is this very somber, gruff-looking person who years later I figured out was Fred Ross, mm-hmm. going through files and grumbling and giving orders, do this, do that. I saw his son this week. We've been working on the project together. And I told him this story. And there's just been a big party?
Yeah.
For Fred Ross. Did you go to that?
No. It was in the Sierras.
I would love to have gone to that.
It would have been fun. It was almost enough to get me out of the Sierras, but not quite.
And I think we also met Caesar mm-hmm. that morning. And then out to the fields. You know, in very direct action. Trained how to talk with people in the fields, how to get them out of the fields. And a very important point, a very poignant point before your spouse got busted. Mm-hmm. Oh, and the lawyer that was hassling with the owner was the one you were talking about earlier.
Jerry Cohen.
Jerry Cohen was the lawyer.
So tough.
And I remember, this is tough stuff here. And when the cops were, Kern County sheriffs were taking pictures of us and then trying to intimidate us. And my only other experience of that had been in Selma. I'm driving into town and all the cops were taking our pictures. But still, it was. I remember that feeling of being intimidated by all that. And they're harassing us. Why are they doing this? Because everything, you know, we're not doing anything wrong. We weren't breaking any laws or anything.
Let's see, were you allowed to say huelga?
Yes, but we could not walk into the field.
Yeah.
I don't know, yes, we could say huelga, we could shout into the field, please come out, or something like that.
Because just a little bit before that, people doing that were arrested for disturbing the peace.
Yeah.
They were told that they could. That's how Chuck McLean was arrested, for shouting huelga.
No, we didn't get busted for that. But I remember we had to shout into the fields to try to convince people to come out. And then they would come out on a lunch break and we would go talk to them, mm-hmm. or some kind of break. And there would be maybe 10 minutes to try to talk to somebody. And, you know,
so
all
did
the language
come
problems.
Out?
Oh, I remember some direct conversation, mm-hmm. very limited and a little stilted, mm-hmm. and feeling very inept at all of this about what we were supposed to be doing. And most on my mind from that day was a very critical lesson. There was a young seminarian there who said, well, what we need to do is all talk together. And she wanted to go engage the sons of the owners, I assume they were the sons, in dialogue. And somebody had the sense enough to say to us, reconciliation comes after justice. And after we get justice in this situation, then we'll sit down and talk about reconciling our differences. And that's a cliche almost. But for me, I remember that was the historical moment when I first got wise to that lesson. And it has stood well over
Delano,
the years.
Those Delano growers lived and worked in Delano, in that little town with Caesar and all these farm workers, had never met Caesar, refused to meet him for 5 years. They didn't meet him until the bishops' committee finally brought them together. Uh-huh. That was the first time they'd ever met. And those bishops were dumbfounded. They live in such a little town. You think you just run into each other at the post office, yes, or something, yes, you know. So that was very naive, yes.
Well, I have a glimmer that, I don't know if it was at this time or later, that Caesar was on a hunger strike. And I think I remember going into his bedroom to see him, that he was in bed.
Out on the 40 acres.
Yeah.
In an adobe.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, in an adobe building that was built for a gas station.
Yes.
It's not functional.
Right. And he was in bed and somewhat weak. Yeah. He couldn't get up.
Right.
And so we were... I remember feeling very honored that we were allowed, about five or six of us, to go into the room and talk to him for a few minutes. That was all in one day.
It was all the same
day. All the same day. I'll go to the Union Hall and see Fred Ross and then go out to this.
Oh, okay.
I may be telescoping all of this.
Okay. Then
there may have been several trips to Delano.
Because
I know there was more than one.
The fast... was
that's what it was. It was
in,
a fast.
68.
Oh my God. I telescoped all that.
He did a 25-day fast in 68.
Well, I telescoped all that. Anyway. So I have no idea how many times I went there. I know several. And I remember in the seminary, it was almost impossible to explain all this. That there was a small group that saw it and figured it out and knew that's what had to be done, and others didn't understand it at all. And not much by way of explanation made much difference in that. Somehow, either some people caught the vision or others didn't. And I don't know if it's that different today.
What do you think it was that made it hard for them to understand?
It was dangerous somehow, might lead to arrest, didn't have anything to do with church, and that was a big one.
Yeah. It's probably some astute seminary professor that got the group of you down there during the fast,
right,
so that there was this tie caught.
right, undoubtedly. Yeah. And I have no knowledge of who set that up or how it was put together at the time. I can barely remember the names of any of the others that were there. Ken Jones was one.
One of the students.
I guess if I thought very hard, I would come up with one. But I remember it was kind of the same small group simultaneously working on Vietnam and farm workers and justice and housing with CORE. In Marin County. No, that was kind of the triad, the big issues at the time.
Does it seem at all surprising when you think about it that you and others were involved would involve yourself with the farm worker issue when you had to go all the way to Delano? I mean, so where the hell is Delano? When these other issues were so much more relevant to your lives and immediate to where you were?
No. I don't ever remember that being an issue. Growing up in Southern California, everything is 2, 3, 4 hours away. You drive to go do things. Go to a party 3 hours away. No, I don't remember anything about that being a problem. Looking back upon it, one of the things that was difficult to share with a group of people fairly recently out of school that are involved in this Frontier Internship Program today was the fervor of student activism, the milieu of it, the culture of it, the unthought-through assumptions of it. There were just some things that had to be done. It was some kind of a cultural milieu. It was a given. I don't think there was any question about distance. There was a level of responsibility. And it was, of course, high adventure. I mean, to discount that would be fair. It's great adventure. Getting outside of those little worlds with it. And I'm quite sure that campus ministry had a lot of influence on my assumption about that. I think the campus ministry had, USC had much more influence on decisions to move in those directions than anything in my local congregation. But who knows how far back you track that, where those assumptions go. But I remember that that was an issue much discussed, very much in intellectual terms.
You mean the
the farm workers, yeah. Mm-hmm. That was an issue to be discussed, and to debate and try to figure out what was going on.
Did case studies. And
yeah, followed the stories mm-hmm. in general. But if there had not been the experience of the daily reality of what's going on in that situation, I think that could have faded as one among 20 or 30 recognitions. To keep working on land and water policy, agribusiness, bank loans, to keep working on all of that today, I think has much more to do with the direct experience with folks who were working that land than anything that came out of the university experience. That's my hunch.
I think the farm workers did an absolutely stupendous job of finding places for all of us to be involved. It's just phenomenal.
Yeah. Without it, without us feeling that we were putting upon them, it was genuine.
Yeah.
I think.
Right. Oh, yeah.
Genuine desire to do that. mm-hmm. I remember about 2 months ago going with Fred Eister to Salinas, and we were to monitor the situation a couple of days before critical elections, mm-hmm. and what kind of pressure was being put on the workers and everything. And there was to be a press conference afterward. And to think that the conditions could still be so similar to what they were was very difficult to accept. But what was even more noticeable was the level of hospitality. Mm-hmm.
By the union.
And, you know, young kids in their 20s. They didn't know us. They didn't know our history.
Were they farm workers?
Yeah. They were farm workers and somehow various folks associated with the union. Mm-hmm. And they didn't know who we were, but we were accepted. So I think that bond is still there. Somehow it's gone through several generations. That's good.
There is a start.
Take a break for a second.
Okay. It was a long time. I was involved a long time before I ever got up into the valley, because I just didn't seem like I was free to do that and experience that. But that's what so many people have talked about, is how gracious the farm was always with my sister, feeding them, making sure they had what they needed. It's very nice. And it is very genuine.
Oh, I have no doubt at all about that. It just happened too many times. Being a stranger and being invited in.
I have a flag that some Coachella Valley farm workers gave me. I got it out last night. Not what I want for Christmas, though. I want it framed so mm-hmm. I can put it up. But it was their strike flag. And it's just, it's ugly piece of red.
Beat, little beat up and tattered.
And it has the eagle stencil on. And you figure they made it 100 of them when they made this one. But they all wrote their names on it. And it just means so much to me. So really, I was so touched that they would give it to me. It was 73, I guess.
That's nice.
Yes. Well, I think having been in during that time in Salinas a couple of months ago with Red Eyster, I was thinking, well, what kind of training is appropriate? If you think of community organizing and various versions of that, I mean, all of that needs to be done, but there's some kind of formación that comes culturally, that comes out of church, that comes someplace. Comes out of union culture, comes out of the valley. I'm not sure what its origins are, but a passion for some sense of justice in this situation. It's enduring, lasts through several generations. And I stop and think about all the setbacks over 20 years of getting 2-3% farm workers organized in this country. And the pressure against that happening, and the endurance of people. Yeah. That's incredible.
I think the passion comes out of anger. Yeah, when I read that Jacques Levy book, I don't know if you read it or not, it came out in about 1776, that was about Caesar, and Caesar insisted that it be turned, so it was. It's called the Autobiography of Cesar Chavez in front of the movie. And he tells a lot of the details about his own life experience before he became an organizer. And I have no doubt in the world that what one of the major dynamics that keeps him going was the anger that he had about the things that happened to his family and dignities. And that has its place. I think that's a tremendous motivating force. And what I respect the union so much for is being able to take that kind of anger and make it work.
Yeah, channel it and direct it and turn it. Okay, I see that. So otherwise, if it weren't transformed that way, it becomes despair.
It becomes despair or just destructive.
Yeah.
But it does worry me that if the union cannot really make some successes happen soon, that the despair may become a dominating force. I have not really resolved some things about this book in terms of the present. I had originally planned to write it about a 10-year period, and then I decided to do it up to the present, or to include the present. And now I'm thinking that maybe I've got to do both, but have most of the book just limited to 65 to 75. When the law was passed, it was, I think, 74, 75, I forget which. And then 74. And then have a part toward the end about the current situation, because I just don't know. I don't know how to do it. I really don't.
When I first went to work in urban industrial mission in Europe, I fell into, I think, is another whole chapter of this, and that it was an organizing effort that included organizers in Kenya and in Mindanao and in California with Del Monte, all living under the tyranny of that company in very, very different situations, and people that out of their organizing efforts and out of their struggle had over a long period of time found each other. Very organically. I mean, maybe a few folks together, but basically they found each other. It seems to me that's another whole chapter. It needs to be written at some point. And lots of mistakes have been made around. how that transcontinental organizing will go on. That's not easy. But it seems to me it needs to.
Well, we're experiencing that right now in terms of Central America, because a lot of us out of the farmworker movement feel like the Central America stuff needs to be